In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. In this psalm, as we pray along with David, we find ourselves confessing that we are in deep trouble. Our days pass away like smoke, like a shadow that vanishes. Our bones are burned and stick to our skin. Our heart is struck down and withered like grass. So horrible is this affliction that we even forget to eat. Or when we eat only ashes and we mingle our drinks with our tears. We are like the birds of the wilderness, owls of the desert, a lonely sparrow on the top of a house, and our enemies reproach us. These words of David seem a bit over the top. But after all, this psalm is, as its title says, a prayer of the afflicted, when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. So what is it that afflicts him? He is deeply troubled by his conscience. How is he overwhelmed? He's overcome by his guilt. What is his complaint? That he is suffering so severely when God has promised to be merciful. We suffer these afflictions of conscience because of the Lord's indignation, his personal rage and fury against our unrighteousness. He has lifted us up and he has cast us down like chaff that is thrown up into the air and blown away by the wind. He has weakened us and he has shortened our days. His law stands against us. Our complaint is not about justice. We're not like Job, who wants to have our day in court to plead our case against God. No, we have not been wrongfully accused. We stand guilty before the righteous judge. And yet, despite that, we are bold to ask that God would hear our prayer, that he would let our cry come unto him. We ask that he not hide his face from us, but that he incline his ear to us and answer us speedily. Ultimately, here we ask that he not take us away in the midst of our days, that is, that we would not be snatched from this life and sent to hell, but that we might enjoy eternal life through the Messiah, our Lord and Savior. Notice as we pray this psalm, the many times we pray, my, or me, or I. We pray about my prayer, my cry, my days. We pray about my distress, my loud groaning, my bones and my heart. We say that I am like an owl in the desert, and I lie awake, and I eat ashes like bread, and I wither like grass. Yes, when we are left alone and naked before our holy God, we are uncovered. By his holy law, you and I are exposed as those in deepest need of rescue. We have nowhere else to turn and nothing to plead of our own, except only to cry out to God to hear us, to answer us, not in his anger, but out of his gracious love. When God's law does its work in our hearts, we are alone and silent before an angry God. For God does not overlook sin. It must be punished. And this is what the law does. It crushes us. It shows us that we deserve death and condemnation. The law casts us literally into hell. For hell is complete separation from God. And sin is what separates us from God. And we're not worthy to be in His presence. So these sins cling to us. And they hold us back and they press us down. These sins seek to keep you and I away from God and His mercy. Sin tries to blind us of our own true character as beggars before God. God's law will have its way with you and me. God's law looks at us, and when you and I see ourselves for what we truly are, we see ourselves as sinners who desperately need to be rescued. But now listen, and notice as you pray this psalm how your attention is turned to God by the use of the word you. Let my cry come to you, that is to God to whom we pray. You, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. You will arise. You will have pity. You will remain, and you are the same. In our psalm, we start confessing who the one we pray to is. He is the one who has regarded the prayer of the destitute, who has not despised the prayer of those who repent. He is the one who has looked down from the height of His dwelling place and beheld the earth from the heavens, who has taken up flesh to join heaven and earth. He has heard the groans of the prisoner and has set free those who are doomed to die. Having fulfilled His Father's will and having drunk the cup of His wrath, that stood against us. Jesus is the one who has ascended the altar of His cross and willingly gave up His spirit, being the acceptable sacrifice for you. Your sins have been removed and your reconciliation is complete. He is the one who by holy baptism has created a people who were once not His people. He has made you His child, and now you praise Him. You no longer stand naked before God's holiness, but now you have been clothed in Christ. He has arisen out of death and joined you to Himself that you might find favor with the Most High God. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what Jesus is all about. The forgiveness of your sins. You have been reconnected to the God who saves you. And He promises to arise and to have mercy on Zion. And He will have mercy on you. That is His promise from all eternity. So it is that after our me's and our I's in our confessions in this psalm, the last word we pray using me or my or I is used in this psalm as a big shift in focus. The last thing that we ask for in this psalm is addressed to my God. We say to Him, to our God, take me not away in the midst of my days. And here is our hope. The God who has cast us down, whose indignation and wrath against our sins threatens to destroy us, is our God who beheld us from his sanctuary and came down to get us. We are his people. Now we are his servants. Our God stands in contrast to the fleeting reality of our bones and our enemies and our sorrows. The foundation of the earth which he laid, the heavens which were formed by his hands, will perish. But God will endure. Your God will endure forever. He will not perish or change. He will remain. He is the same, steadfast, eternal, and determined to save you. He's ours. He's mine. He's yours. He's my God and your God and our God. He created us in love to give us dominion over the earth, to enjoy its fruits and be in communion with him. He made you and I for himself, and he has not changed, nor will ever change his mind about us. He's the same, and his years have no end. And if he is ours and we are his, then the same is true of us in him, that we shall not die, but like him shall live forever. We shall not be taken away in the midst of our days, and we shall not pay for our sins, for he is our God. He's had mercy on Zion. And he has mercy on you. So as the psalm ends, the children of his servants will dwell securely, and their offspring will be established forever, David cries out. What passes away is sorrow and guilt, the regret, the shame, the aching bones, the ash-filled bread. He hears your cry, and he answers your prayer. He will not take you away in the midst of your days. Your days will not wither like grass and flee as the shadow, for you shall live forever and leave behind this sadness and guilt and affliction, for you are destined to live as the one who was crucified for you lives. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. My dear friends, do not despair, but rejoice. God hears your prayers for mercy. You're not alone as a sparrow on a housetop. The God who laid the foundations of the earth and who sent his Son to die for you will hold you in the palm of his hand, and you shall dwell securely forever in his unending love. In the name of Jesus, amen.